Hello there, beautiful
oh,
people.
No. Use a liar.
To fan tie.
Use a lie and the truth ain't in you.
For all those. Hey there, beautiful people. Welcome to Fan Tie, the podcast. For all those complex and complicado conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I am well hydrated and ready to get into a little snacky snack here that we'll get into in just a moment. Jarrett Hill.
I don't know why you even try to do that.
What?
That little voice you just had on? Mm-mm.
I would say the brand's name, but they're not paying for it today.
Oh, no. And I am entertainment journalist, editor, social curator, world changer, all-around bad bitch, Travell Anderson. Travell Anderson, if you're nasty. How you doing? Coming up on the show today... We are talking about scroll, fandom and
I know you
stand-um.
Fucking like
fandom and
do it
stand-um.
Again.
No, fandom and stand-um. Listen, it's one of those days, okay? That is what we are talking about. But first, we have an A segment that Jarrett has come up with to ridicule me for you all's entertainment. Take it away, friend.
I think we came up with a whole show for that. It's called Fan Tie. Have you ever listened to the show before? Okay. You and I were having a conversation about, like, this pumpkin spice-ness, right? Every year we have this conversation about white people and the pumpkin spice and how ridiculous it is and blah, 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 blah. And there's the pumpkin spice latte and Starbucks normally has an assortment of pumpkin spice flavored things and all that shit. And I was saying to you yesterday that I think that the pumpkin spice is super white thing. Like, we're all used to that. But, like, it really also isn't founded in anything because, like, the seasoning profile of pumpkin flavored things is basically the same as, like, a sweet potato pie, right? Like, it's cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, like, brown sugars or maybe white sugar. For the white people. I don't know. But, like, it's a similar kind of thing, sure. Right? It's not the exact same. And, like, if you're having a pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks, there's not real pumpkin in it, right? Like, it's a pumpkin seasoning profile. And mm-hmm. So, like, most of the stuff that we love as sweet potato, because black folks love a sweet potato pie, and I am in that number. But, like, if it's in a beverage, it's going to be pretty similar. Sure. I was saying to you before the show, now, if I had a coffee shop... Right? It'd be sweet potato season, right? Like, we'd have some sweet potato, a sweet potato loaf maybe for breakfast, or a sweet potato this, that, or that, or the other. Like, but, like, all of the resistance to pumpkin is actually pumpkin-flavored things is kind of annoying to me. So we have, you know, we've done the work.
You've done the work.
On Fanti. You might remember, Travell, it was about 3.5 years ago that you were on my radio show. We did a taste test. That really changed who you were as a person, if I am not mistaken. Mm. I believe it shook you to your core about chicken and a sandwich. Amen?
Amen, 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 da-yang.
Amen. So we have ordered pumpkin-flavored things at the Star Basil.
So you forgot to tell the people that I don't do the pumpkin spice, okay?
Travell is very anti-pumpkin, is a part of big sweet potato lobby. And listen, I get it. Right? This is a person who is really dedicated to French fries, so I get that you have a bias.
Wow. Hold on.
But
wow.
Sorry, that was a stray.
Wow.
Potatoes didn't see that coming.
Right.
But like,
they just sitting in Idaho, minding their business.
Listen, okay, right. Travell, we ordered pumpkin-flavored things. You said you had never had pumpkin-flavored anything, which I don't actually believe, but sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I have had it. But it was so unremarkable that I never returned. And so, I, you know, PSL season or whatever, you know, the white soccer moms call it and the yogaites call it. But you have, as you were saying, you have forced me to order some things that are flavored with the pumpkin and the spice.
The verbs are so interesting.
And I'm about to taste it for the first time.
The verbs are.
Live and in color.
Just so interesting. Or, you know, taped and coming out in 2 days. But... The thing that I think is interesting here is, like, it's not going to be some, like, earth-shattering thing. So what did you get?
Okay, yes. I was forced to order a beverage and a bakery item. So I got the pumpkin scone.
You know you love to mispronounce a word. It's beverage.
Oh, period. Oh, I could do that one.
Come on now. Like, let's
I've never heard culture. That. You know, I'm just so I am uncultured. I've never, you know, tried the pumpkin. So why would I would not know it's called beverage. Did I say that right? Beverage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I got it. Grant, see, listen, I'm getting cultured right before your very eyes. I love this for me.
You're welcome.
Okay. I have a beverage. Okay. I got a a tall iced pumpkin spice latte.
With 65 pumps of sugar?
No, I did have to add some sugar because I just knew for God that it was going to be, you know, disgusting without it. So I just got 5 pumps of classic, okay, the classic syrup.
Just 5?
Just 5. Well, you know, my green tea order is 15 pumps of classic. And so I decided I wouldn't do that to the pumpkin. So that's what I got in the drink. And then I got the pumpkin scone to taste.
I just want to shout out to all my baristas out there or, you know, people who give a fuck. 5 pumps is more than we would put in a venti. So just want to put that
in. I would also just like to note in light of last week's conversation about our names, that the one way that you can circumvent them fucking up your name is ordering it on Uber Eats.
Ordering online.
Because, bitch, right. They got the apostrophe and everything. Anyway, okay, I'm tasting. Okay.
Mind you, the J in my name is capitalized. I don't want to talk about that. But you're tasting your drink. While you're tasting yours, you're making all kinds of faces as you normally would. You wake up making all these faces.
I do. I'm a very expressive person.
Travelle is like acting like they just swallowed Listerine. I, by the way, for those of you that are interested, I have a Trenta pumpkin cream cold brew. I'm an iced coffee type of bitch. So
he got the bougie cup too.
I love my Starbucks. Like, it's a dope, like, black cup. Yeah. Then, okay. So how was the drink for you?
They need to stop doing them union busting activities. Just gonna slide that right on in there.
Nothing to do with the drink, but okay.
But it has everything to do with the company. You just gotta mention it. Anyway, let me start with the scone.
Okay.
The scone is giving like a knockoff cinnamon roll. That's not a good thing. Like, I see where it wants to be,
no.
But it's not there. It's not there. So I can't do that no more. I'm gonna eat the icing on top though, because the icing's good. How often do I eat scones, you ask, Laura Swisher, in the comments? Not often.
I was going to say, because, like, you chose a scone, and, like, I never eat scones, because scones feel like eating big croutons, and I'm not into that.
Now, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I will give you that.
You acted like it was going to be eating dog shit or something. Like, I mean...
Well, I don't know what dog shit is like, and I would not like to experience it. However...
Fair.
However...
I'm gonna give you that.
It is not a flavor profile that I like.
So to give you all some perspective on how, you know, the magic of show is made... When we had a conversation about this, Travelle indicated to me that they do not enjoy the taste of coffee. So we had Travelle get a latte that would be more milk forward as opposed to more coffee forward, like my cold brew. Want to shout out to Chef Brundle, who can make sweet potato spice pastries for us to compare to the Starbucks pumpkin spice. We might want to, that was an idea from Laura Swisher in the comments. We might shout out to him about that and see if we can have him on the holiday program. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to finish this muffin and get my life. And then we're going to get into what is wrong with you people. We'll explain that.
This butter croissant is busting though. This is something else I ordered.
You ordered a backup because, I mean, you're not stupid.
Now we just did an advertisement for Amazon and
Uber Eats and Starbucks. All that, whatever else coming up. Let's do some real commercials. We'll be right back. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. So we've talked here a lot about our experiences with mental health, and more specifically for me with depression and anxiety and going to therapy and what that process has been like for me. I can tell you lately, I've been talking to my therapist about depression in a way about a cloud being in the sky. And a friend of mine reflected back to me that she also talks about depression in a similar way. Like, there are some days when the cloud is blocking out the sun. Right. And it feels dark and gloomy and difficult and hard. And there are some days when it's not in front of the sun, but you can still see the cloud out in the sky, right? And that is how I've been feeling a lot more lately, where it's like, I feel good, it is a sunny day, but that bitch-ass rain cloud, she's still out there. And sometimes it can be tough to train your brain to kind of stay in like a problem-solving kind of perspective, right? Or looking at things from a perspective where you can see the sunlight when you're faced with various different challenges in your life. But when you can learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small. What I can tell you is that for me, therapy has been one of the most life-changing things that I could ever experience. And even in times like right now, I'm going bi-weekly, right? I'm not going every single week, but I'm going every other week to just kind of check in. And my therapist is so great at asking me fantastic questions. That has been the most important piece for me, asking me great questions to make me think about my behaviors and my patterns a little bit differently.
If you are thinking of giving therapy a try, you should. And BetterHelp is a great option, okay? It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. I have used BetterHelp in the past, and it has been very, 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 very useful. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists at any time, which I have also done. Okay, shout out to that service. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/fantie today to get 10% off your first month. That's BETTERHELP.com/fantie. If you are anything like me, okay, you do a lot of things in your bed. Mm-hmm. But keep your mind out of the gutter. Keep your mind out of the gutter, okay? Because we're not going
there. Oh, I was
there.
Thinking like sleeping, eating, farting.
Oh, yes, actually.
That's what I was thinking
great,
you were going to say.
Great, you're wonderful. But
that's your story?
For the weirdos out there, we know who you are. But yes, your bed is made for much more than sleeping. You can eat in your bed, although your mother might, you know, I know you, if you live with your mama, which, you know, hopefully you not. But if you are, she might be very upset.
Or if you don't,
she might still be upset. But you can drink in your bed, okay, a nice glass of wine, binge watching. You can do some work from home. You can do some coodling and, you know, other things as well. The list really goes on. But for everything you do in bed, we want you to do it on the highest quality sheets, pillows, and bedding from the home of the internet's favorite sheets. Oh, yes, we're talking about Brooklyn. And Brooklinen delivers high quality, beautiful home essentials by partnering with top caliber manufacturing partners and using only the highest grade materials, okay? It makes you feel like you live in, you know, in a hotel suite, for example. You know, if that's the vibe you're going for, that's a vibe that I like on my bed.
Brooklinen's bedding basics are anything but, well, basic. However you sleep, take your bedroom to the next level with Brooklinen's award-winning down comforter and pillows. I also have a duvet that I'm about to start using that I'm very excited about. If you're hosting the holidays this season, you can outfit the entire bedroom as simple as a few clicks from Brooklinen's move-in bundles. And by bundling, you get 15% off compared to buying all the items separately. I can tell you that my Brooklinen pillowcases and sheets are in the laundry right now and are going to be on the bed tonight. Amen?
Absolutely. Amen. They're really nice. They got cute little patterns and stuff like that. FYI, if you a pattern type of girl. They got your solids as well, but you know I'm a pattern type of girl.
Oh, how do you spell pattern?
The same way you spell
it. Never mind. For everything you do in bed, check out brooklinen.com today for their luxurious home and bedding essentials. And use promo code FANTIE for $20 off, plus free shipping on your purchase of $100 or more. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code FANTIE, $20 off, plus free shipping.
Welcome back, beautiful people. Okay, so here's the deal. Jared and I are all about having a fierce love and admiration for something or a person.
Ooh, culture.
Anyway, okay, y'all, Jared and I love having, you know, just fierce relationships and adoration for people, places, and things, right? Like, it's part of the ethos of this show. As you all know, Jared has an encyclopedic knowledge. Ooh, excuse me. My God.
Wow. No, keep it in. Keep it in. Keep it in.
See, that's what the pumpkin do to you. It gives you heart issues. It gives you digestion.
Whiteness gave
issue.
You indigestion,
anyway,
baby.
Okay, I gotta
whiteness
get this
gave
intro.
You indigestion, baby.
You're absurd. Okay. Jared has an encyclopedic knowledge of the Oprah Winfrey Show. He tells you that he tells you something from that show every single week, right? We know this. He references her all the time. He has multiple photos of her on his wall at home, y'all, okay? And y'all know that I don't play about the season 3 winner of American Idol, the Grammy winning songstress of stage and screen, hailing from a one high point North Kakalaki, a one Fantasia.
Okay, pause. Hold on. Because you just said so many words right there that I know somebody did not catch all of.
But somebody did.
Somebody did. Somebody said, throw your hands up. Take your shirt off. Twist it around your hands. Go ahead. Sorry.
In addition to the Oprah Winfrey Show for you, in addition to Fantasia for me, we both consider ourselves to be card-carrying members of the Beehive, right? We put in our sweat equity for those positions in the Beehive, okay? But some of motherfuckers out there be doing too damn much.
I didn't see that coming.
Okay? Like, you know, our fellow Beehive members who think Beyonce can do no wrong. When y'all know her and them Tiffany Blood Diamonds, come on now. That wasn't necessary. I'm just saying. Or y'all want to ignore the fact that she, you know, crossed the picket line, you know, at that little hotel and then turned it into a bar on the Renaissance album.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
She said, we don't cross lines unless they dollar signs. But you literally crossed the picket line, sis. I'm just saying. Or recently, right, you also have the rabbit contingent of the Barbs, right, who doxed Kimberly Foster. She's a well-known YouTuber, if you don't know her name. I've mentioned her a couple times on the podcast. She oversees the site and the platform for Harriet. But they, you know, the Barbs doxed her and started threatening her on social media because she made some legitimate criticisms of a one Chun Li. Okay? In the words of the icon herself, Miss Boomkak, Lori Ann Gibson, creative director for Megan Thee Stallion, Tequita is too much. It's too much, Tequita. Okay? That's what some of y'all be doing. Okay? Some of y'all fans. Okay? Some of y'all stands. All right? That's what we're going to talk about today. But the reason we're going to be giving fandom and standum the fanti treatment is because of a quote that you found, Jarrett. You stumbled over it last week and brought this to our attention.
I just want to preface this by saying this was attributed in the tweet that I saw to Roger Ebert. However, it is a screenshot of a longer quote that seems to be Roger Ebert quote. But it says, a lot of fans are basically fans of fandom itself. It's all about them. They have mastered the Star Wars or Star Trek universes or whatever, but their objects of veneration are useful mainly as a backdrop to their own devotion. Anyone who would camp out in a tent on the sidewalk for weeks in order to be first in line for a movie is more into camping on the sidewalk than movies. Extreme fandom may serve as a security blanket for the socially inept who use its extreme structure as a substitute for social skills. If you are a Luke Skywalker and she is a Princess Leia, you already know what to say to each other, which is so much safer than having to ad-lib it. Your fanish obsession is your beard. If you know absolutely all the trivia about your cubbyhole of pop culture, it saves you from having to know anything about anything else. That's why it's excruciatingly boring to talk to such people. They're always asking you questions they know the answer to. I just thought this was interesting. First of all, a lot of people just felt really dragged, right? Like, ate alive.
It was a very well-written read.
And like,
no shade.
It is an interesting thing to consider. So like, I found this interesting because you and I are always talking about the things that we love and that we're really big fans of, but also how it gets a bit extreme sometimes. And so this you know, comment, it really, it struck a chord.
It's interesting because so many people, when they're thinking of fandom and stand them when it gets to that level, a lot of it is about community. A lot of it is about, you know, finding like-minded people who, you know, feel as fiercely as you do about this thing, this person, this item. this circumstance or situation. We have seen the points at which it becomes too much. But before we get there, I have a pregunta for you. To get us started, I want to know, what is the furthest point to you that you've taken for your fandom or your stand-up of a person, of a cultural item, of a figure, okay? I'm going to go first to give you some time to think. Because, you know, I know you need time.
Please don't get choked on your own show, ho.
The furthest point I've taken my fandom. I'm going to talk about Fantasia.
What?
I'm a huge fan, but I'm not a stan. Mm. You know, like the furthest that I've taken my fandom is, you know, approximately 6 months ago. I was just thinking to myself, you ain't give Fantasia no money recently. What you gonna do about that? You know? And I said, okay, well, maybe I won't. Then I was like, okay, well, I don't have to buy this. I'm not gonna buy the songs because, you know, it's streaming, right? And I was like, okay, I already own the DVD of the Lifetime movie in which she starred in herself, Life is Not a Fairy Tale, okay? But what I did not have, I said, you don't have the book that the Lifetime movie is based off of. And so you want to know what I did?
I can guess.
I bought the book.
No.
I can guess. I bought the book.
Really?
And I said, wow, this is wonderful. Because obviously ain't nobody thinking about Fantasia's biography, you know? Nobody's thinking about that. We have transcended beyond that. She's got, you know, she got her a new man that she just came out with a book with, you know? I was just like, wow, I love that for me and I love that for her. But like I said, I'm not absurd with it. You know, I don't have a Fantasia tattoo. Although I have thought about getting some of her lyrics on my body, I haven't done it yet. And that's called restraint.
One, that feels like a read because I have a map of Kosciuszko, Mississippi on my back. But if you know, you know. I'm just saying, I feel attacked.
You are unserious right now.
Because someone is actually thinking like, does this nigga really have the city she was born in on his back? I know someone's thinking it. And I'm not going to answer. Okay, my Oprah story, because I feel like I have to do an Oprah story after your Fantasia story. I have been a big fan of the show for a long time, as you might have learned. Getting tickets to the show was one of the hardest things about being a fan of the show. They like would open up the ticket line like once a month and like it would be on the website and they'd have what day it was or whatever. And so for whatever reason, I don't know if I skipped school or for whatever reason I was home that day. I must have skipped school. But like I had the phone on speaker and I would hit speaker and redial. And it would be busy, 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 speaker, hang up, speaker and redial, like to try and get through to the line.
Nachi was calling through the hotline.
Because it was a hotline. This was back in 2002 or 3 or whatever. And so I never get through on the line, right? I called until it was like, oh, we're maxed out. We don't have no more tickets for this month. So then I was like, I'm a new journalist at this point, right? I'm like a year and a half in. Our advisor is like, never take no for an answer, right? My dad has raised me on never accept a no from someone who doesn't have the power to give you a yes.
Big period.
I need to be resourceful. And so I had figured out how to get through to people that worked at the Oprah show. And I was like, the only person that I really knew their name was Andre Walker. And so Andre did her hair back on the show back in the day. And so I had called and left a message and I was getting ready to graduate from college. And like, my dad was like, if you can get tickets, I'll take you. Right. And I was like, and I don't think he thought I was going to get tickets, or he knew I was going to get tickets because he's met me. And so I called and left this message on Andre's voicemail and like hoped that he would get it. Right. Days, and I think more than a week had gone by, and I came out of class at a first period one day, and I had an unknown call and a voice message, and it was Andre Walker calling me from the Oprah Winfrey show, and he was like, I get stuff like this all the time, and I never normally do stuff like this, but I heard your message, and I just wanted to, you know, give you the tickets, and so, like, you know, yes, you can come. I lose it. I find out that I am literally there the day after they're taping Oprah's Favorite Things. I'm hurt, but I also know that staffers can't give tickets to things like that, right? So I couldn't have been there anyway.
Right.
So I go with my dad and my best friend. And if you watched the show back in the day, every day at the end of the show, they would say, guest of the Oprah Winfrey Show, stay at the All Suite Omni Hotel, located at the heart of Chicago's Magnificent Mile. And then they would say, guest fly the official carrier, American Airlines. American and American Eagle provide service to dozens of warm destinations, including Florida, Texas, the Bahamas, and the Caribbean. American Airlines, something special to the sun. Don't ask me why.
Oh, you in deep, honey.
It was a problem. So we actually stayed at the Omni Hotel. We went to the show. We had like a fantastic time. It was the episode where she talked about taking Christmas to kids in South Africa. It was called Christmas Kindness. I got to stand up and talk to Oprah. That was the first time I ever met her. That is as far as my fandom has gone. Like, we really did it.
Are you on the broadcast? Like, can we go back and like find vintage Jarryd Hill?
Back in the day, they used to do a show called After the Show on Oxygen. And like, it was filmed for that. And so I know it exists in some archive somewhere, but like it wasn't on the show. This was one of the few times I've ever seen the show where it was a special and you couldn't even really see the audience until after the show because it was a special set. It was a whole different situation for that episode, but it was extraordinary. It was a really, really dope experience for me.
That's interesting because you did a whole lot for that.
I mean, it was more than buying a book, but you know.
It was, you know, but that's what I'm saying though, right? The levels to which people will go for things or do things based on ultimately these people who have no thought or consideration about you as an individual.
That's the interesting thing about this. And we should say we're going to take a complex and complicado structure here because it's a little bit more specific than anything else. Swish actually asked a question here that I want to pause and answer because it's a really good one. Part of what's interesting about this story about going to Oprah is I had told people in the audience holding like, oh, you know, this was my graduation present. It was like November. I had graduated in June and made friends in the audience. And this woman had stood up after the show and was saying to Oprah how amazing this Christmas Kindness episode was. And I literally remember her saying something to the effect of, you know, Oprah, you know, they say you can't see the face of God, but I believe that we see the face of God in you. And Jarryd here, stand up, Jarryd. And I'm like, what is happening? Right? And like my very aware of television standing, like television production, she says that to me. And I immediately know I have about 3 seconds to get my face together before camera 6 has found me. Right? And she's like, and Jarryd here, stand up, Jarryd. That kind of thing was extraordinary. And that's how I was able to like speak to Oprah and like be, you know, a part of that moment. So yes, I did end up befriending people in the audience. And it became like that moment for me because I had been talking to people in the audience holding. Travell, I'm curious about this fandom thing. One of the things that has always been interesting to me, like as a person who has dated online for a long time or been on apps as a single person, I'm always really fascinated by someone's stand-up being so significant that it is a part of their personality that they need to include it on their profiles.
Oh, well, hold on now. Don't be reading me.
It's not a read.
It felt like it.
Okay, so that was your shit, right? But I'm more so saying, like, I'm fascinated by stand-up that, like, I am such a big fan of Nicki Minaj that my Grindr profile has to say Barb in it. Right? Or that I have to have a Nicki lyric in it. And I have to say that Nicki is my life. I used to see that back in the day, or Rihanna or whomever.
Let me ask you a quick question. Is it person specific? The reason why I ask, right, is in terms of like the object of said stanification. Because like I have had in my dating profiles before, you know, probably listening to Fantasia somewhere or whatever. Or, you know, now you can put, you know, you can attach a song or whatever, or a playlist to your profile or whatever. So I'm likely to have a Fantasia, you know, presentation in there. But that's very different than Nicki is the queen of all rappers, you know, because it's Nicki, well, right? Like, that's my question.
It's
though.
Not a,
like,
is it it's different? Not a read, right? I'm just fascinated by it when I see it as like someone's headline on their profile. And it's like, the thing that I actually always wonder is, okay, because I remember when Rihanna was a new artist, right? And they were, you know, some of the girls, I think before we even calling them the Navy. And they were like, you know, Rihanna's my world, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
Ponda replay.
Right. And I'm like, so what would this profile have said a year ago before that song came out? Like, who are you before Rihanna? Right? Like, that's what I'm always, like, really curious about when people's, like, stand-up is, like, a major factor in their personality, right? Like, that is something that I'm always like, well, who are you outside of that?
I think that's a great first question. No, but not who are you outside of that, because that the framing of that sentence is antagonistic. Because I would love for someone to ask, oh, you obviously love Fantasia because she's in, you know, she's in your little bio here. You know, who were you listening to before Fantasia? If you want to get to know me, like what you know, you could ask more questions about my relationship with Fantasia, you know, if you want to get to know me, right? But again, I think it comes down to the individual being, you know, lifted up because of these individuals, right? And what this culture that is now around some of them, right? You standing, you know, India Ari is very different than somebody standing even Beyonce, right? Because of the extents to which your fandom will go based on who the individual is that you are, individual or thing that you are, you know, directing it to.
First of all, shout out to listener Fanti India Ari. I think about this, I wrote in the notes here, Barbs, Carbs, and Trump. Because I think that, like...
Not carbs.
The Barbs, the Carbs, and the Trumpers all have a lot in common, right? Like...
Not... Friend, you can't call them carbs, girl.
What do we call the Cardi B girls?
I don't know, baby, but you cannot call them carbohydrates.
I didn't call them carbohydrates. I said Barbs, Carbs, and Trumpsters. So listen, I think what we see that is similar about the Barbs, the Carbs, and the Trumpsters is that, like, no matter what their fave does, right, it is okay. It is justified. It is worthy of support. And not only worthy of support, but also of, like, retaliation to anyone who disagrees. The way that we see the Barbs, like, stand for Nicki and, like, stand up for anything that she does, even when she's, like, blatantly wrong, right? Or when she's doing something that is wildly offensive or just really insecure, which is a lot of the shit that we've been seeing lately with her and Lotto. I'm fascinated by, like, how ridiculous she can be and how the Barbs go for it every time. And we see that with Trump, right? We see that in the politics world where no matter what Trump does, no matter what Trump says, no matter what information comes out about him, and also the people that he's endorsed, because I think Herschel Walker has been such an interesting way to see that all of the ways that Republicans were willing to, like, trounce over their Christian beliefs, their beliefs about, you know, marriage, their beliefs about all these other things to support Trump. We've now seen, like, that is not only exclusive to whiteness with Donald Trump, right? It is unique to anyone who will comply. It is unique to anyone who will go along with it. Similarly to Barbs and Carbs and all the other shit. Like, if you are on the party line, if you are going in for Super Freaky Girl, like, it is the bomb ass shit. Like, it is a good song and you know it's not, right? You are in, right? If you are down with Herschel Walker and you don't give a fuck about this abortion that he allegedly had with some woman that he doesn't even know, who he also has a child with, right? If you can be down for that, you can be on our party. It kind of feels, you know, the same.
So it's interesting to me for you to be bringing in, right, this, like, political context of the Trumpers into a conversation when we're talking about, like, the standums and the fandoms of, I mean, we keep using Cardi and Nicki, but, like, this applies to the Star Wars girls too. You know, this applies to on last week's episode of The Read, Kid Fury was talking about going to see Katya and Trixie's live show. They're drag queens, if you don't know. And there was a person sitting in front of him who, you know, had on this huge wig. They were in drag, but, like, it was just, like, so totally done up that he could not see, part of the show. And so he was just talking about how this person's fandom, right? Or even this person's like persona, right? In this particular context, he did not find it to be considerate, right, of others. And a lot of times I find that all these three groups that you have listed in particular don't care about others. You know, the rabid ones in these communities, at least.
I think when you are like that dedicated to an artist or a party or a candidate or a show or, you know, a piece of IP or a cinematic universe, whatever it is, it's about more than the thing, right? Like, it is about more than the artist. Like, if we think about Trumpers, it is about more than Donald Trump, right? If you think about people who are beehivers, right? It is not because Lemonade is just the best album that ever existed, right? It is about what you connect to, what you believe about Beyonce, about her being she's the one, the only one, right? And that, like, this...
I mean, listen.
You know what I mean?
Period.
It's that idea that, like, you could be that, right? It's that idea that you could be lifted up into that kind of belief system. For us, right, you and I are very invested in the journalism community. It is about more than storytelling, right? It is about more than articles and interviews and podcasts. And I think that when we see these kind of stand moments where people are really connected to this kind of thing in ways that can be positive and uplifting and valuable and move work forward or whatever, it can also go in the other direction where you're doxing people on Twitter, right? Or showing up at their houses or showing up at a pizza parlor because you think there's a criminal pedophile ring or something underneath the basement or some shit, right? Because you're so bought into Q. Or whatever it is. Like, we see this kind of happening in all kinds of different places.
I do want to note that the reasons why you hear certain groups of fans, right, their names repeated most often in these conversations about fandoms and stand-ups, I think, is also directly related to the role of the artist themselves in cultivating and perpetuating and emboldening this behavior. The reason why everybody say the Bobs are crazy, okay, in part is because, right, we know that Nicki Minaj is liking some of their, you know, most horrible tweets, right? Like, there's proof, right? And for someone whose fandom is at that point to where they would, you know, violate a person's privacy in this particular way, or they would wish harm on an individual in this particular way, for the person at the center of that fandom to like that tweet, that person sees that as affirmation to keep going, right? Yeah. And like, we don't ever hear about Beyonce liking nobody's shady tweet about the other girls.
Well, we don't hear about Beyonce liking anything, to be clear.
Point.
Well, because I think your point is well taken, that like it can be fueled by the artist, right? We can use Nicki as this example. We can use Donald Trump as this example. We can use various different folks. But then you do have people like a Beyonce who will not even like address it, right? Or will write about it in a lyric or something like that.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that this headline just dropped in my mind. A couple years ago, there was a black journalist, social media person, I don't know these people's titles, Jerome is his name, if I'm not mistaken, who Nicki basically sicked her fans on this person because he made a video, I think it was a YouTube video maybe, critiquing her, or tweets critiquing something that she had said or done or whatever, right? So like, this is repeated behavior on the behalf of a Nicki Minaj, right? That leads us to this point now where, as I said, Kimberly Foster feels like she has no choice but to, you know, sue these people for the violation of her safety, right?
And I think to your earlier point, though, like, I think ultimately when we're seeing like people who are like this bought in on an artist, on a you know, specifically when we're like doing this around a person or like something creative, oftentimes it is about community, right? And like the extremes that we're willing to see people go to defend that community really kind of demonstrates what I'm talking about it being more than about super freaky girl, right? Or it being about more than like, I really believe in, you know, Trump and whatever the fuck bullshit he's saying, right? It's about like the community that I've built. Cause if you think about the Trump people that are really bought in, the ones that are out building militias and arming themselves and training to go fight, you know, in the streets and all that type of shit, that is about more than Donald Trump. Again, that's like taking the political extreme. But like, if you are like really into Star Trek, there's something about the message of Star Trek. There's something about the people who wrote it or what they were trying to say or what their message was or the way that it resonated with you that is really about why you are so bought in and going to Comic-Con and going to the Trekkie events and blah, 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 because it connected with you in a different kind of way. And I think Comic-Con is actually a great example of how we can see how that manifests itself for a lot of different kinds of fandom.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned Comic-Con. I was just thinking and seeing about seeing over the weekend, last week or so, all of the videos from BravoCon. Yeah. Right? They have, you know, people-fied or, concretized the fandom around Housewives, for example. Right? Shout out to Gia Peppers, who moderated one of the kind of reunion type conversations on the stage with the Housewives of Potomac. But you know, that is stand-up in and of itself is its own industry now, right? Like, I think, and you mentioned the Comic Cons, we mentioned BravoCon, CultureCon as the place for create, hell, Maximum Fun Con, right? Like, you know,
it's community.
Yes, the people who attended Max Fun Con were folks who have, you know, these deep, you know, undying like loves with and relationships with the content that's on this particular network. They find a useful and utility from, you know, being in a physical space, the inspiration, the fun, the memories, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's like, oh, I wanted to mention DragCon as well, right? An extension of the drag world and the fandom all around that. I could go on and on of the many, many examples. BeautyCon. But it is that community aspect that time and time again that, like, I think we all really, like, identify. Like, if somebody identifies as a Fantasia stan, we see each other. I know that you like good singing. You like some good flat-footed singing, okay? I know that you probably, you probably from the church. You probably have backslidded once or twice or three times.
You know what?
You know, quote-unquote backslidded.
Would say, like, I think that when we see like extreme stand-up fandom, it can result in like being a part of the concert documentary because you happen to be there, or it could be a part of an HBO cult documentary at the end. Like, you just never know, right? Like, yikes. It could go one end or the other, right? Because like all of that, again, even like the cult documentaries, like I've found those really interesting over the years, but like even those, that's about community, right? Like, there are other people who believe what I believe. There are other people who are interested in what I'm interested in, that are committed to something, or like, oftentimes it's like some kind of like self-development or personal development, or like a mission that is bigger than them, right? That is a community that they end up becoming a part of, and sometimes it doesn't end up working out as well.
You know, this point about, you know, cult versus community, now that's interesting.
I mean, that's probably a whole
house show. College. That's all I say. Let's go. Let's
we want to hear from y'all in the AUC. Hit us up on social media using the hashtag FantiFam. We're on Twitter and Instagram at FantiPodcast. Coming up in listener,
oh, it's homecoming
feedback,
week.
Y'all just,
FYI,
what'd you say?
It's homecoming week last week. This past weekend was Clark Atlanta. This coming weekend is Spell House. Shout out to y'all.
Yes, shout out to all of you Clark Atlanta Panthers out there. We're gonna be right back with listener feedback and dishonorable mentions. Ow! We'll be right back.
You're in a theater. The lights go down. You're about to get swept up by the characters and all their little details and interpersonal dramas. You look at them and think, that person is so obviously in love with their best friend. Wait, am I in love with my best friend? That character's mom is so overbearing. Why doesn't she just stand up to her? Oh God, do I need to stand up to my own mother? If you've ever recognized yourself in a movie, then join me, Jordan Cruciola, for the podcast Feeling Seen. We've talked to author Susan Orlean on realizing her own marriage was falling apart after watching Adaptation, an adaptation of her own work, and comedian Hari Kondabolu on why Harold and Kumar was a depressingly important movie for Southeast Asians. So join me every Thursday for the Feeling Seen podcast here on Maximum Fun.
Her Majesty served Great Britain and the Commonwealth loyally for over 70 years. And while, of course, we feel a profound sadness, we must remember she lived a long life and died in such a way that I think many of us would want for ourselves. She was at home, surrounded by her family. And, of course, she was listening to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast, and you can find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, welcome back, beautiful people. We're going to get into our listener feedback segment.
Culture, baby.
You all really seemed to enjoy last week's episode about our names. And in particular, you all really loved the video and the voice memo, the video that Laura Swisher made, and then the voice memo that my mother sent in. Yes, she is a character. Yes, you see where I get it from. So, you know, don't blame me, blame her.
We can do both.
You can walk and chew gum at the exact same time. Absolutely. Okay, we've got an email here from Davis. It was sent with the title, "That's Not My Name Either." Or either, depending on, you know, how you slice that cake. Davis says, hello, Travelle and Jarrett.
Pause.
I wanted to reach out in response to last week's That's Not My Name
episode. Pause. Sorry. I know we're about to start this letter, but you just brought something up. You always say Travelle. And I've been saying, thinking to myself, should I start saying Travelle? But I always hear you say Travelle, and I try to call people what they say their name is. What do you want now?
I want it all back.
Okay, I was going for brand new socks and drawers, and you went to church.
Brand new socks and drawers? What is that reference? I want it all
brand new socks and drawers? Wow, the anti-blackness just leapt out, Travelle. Go ahead.
I don't know what that is, honey.
The people on Twitter will let you know.
Great. Hello, Travelle and Jarrett. I wanted to reach out in response to last week's That's Not My Name episode to share that as a woman named Davis, I feel you on this. As a child, I heard "that's a boy's name" relentlessly, and as a teenager, was on the receiving end of jokes, "you look different," that were of poor taste. The misogynistic shift in tone I caught whenever someone would call me at work after corresponding via email prompted me to start using my much more feminine middle name along with the rest of it. These days, I receive emails and texts addressed to my middle name, or to David, or to Mr. Anderson several times a month. These messages are, in some cases, followed immediately with an apology or an explanation. I understand and appreciate that, and I also find myself writing back in a light, forgiving tone of voice in order to diffuse the sender's embarrassment. I can feel the extent to which my reaction is rooted in gendered expectations. It's a whole mess. Davis continues, what grinds my gears most of all, though, is that I've had my name scrambled up when folks really should be doing their research. Travelle, I am with you on this. Just last weekend, I was interviewed for a local news station. I was asked to say and spell my name into a microphone, and even then, Davis was dropped completely. Similar situations have occurred when I've been recognized for professional achievements or when my work was mentioned in trade publications. It is humbling, to say the least, to see a name I don't answer to get acknowledged for my hard work. I'm with you, though, Jarrett, in that all of this leads me to be very tuned into how people choose to represent themselves. I know through direct experience how important it is to do that. So thank you for this conversation. It resonated with me deeply, and I appreciated hearing your perspectives on this. With best wishes, Davis.
I see Davis writes here, P.S. Travell, what would you like to be called? I didn't see that coming. I wasn't expecting it.
Oh, wow. You better take some creative license on Davis's letter.
We referenced that as a callback. That's culture for you. I appreciate this letter. Like I one of the things that frustrates me is like my name is in my email address, right? And people will, hey Jared, and I'll be like, girl, how did you write the email address or copy it over or whatever you did? And still spell my name wrong. Like, it's really frustrating. Davis, I hear you talking about, like, the gendered expectations of this that are also interesting. Like, and the thing that actually stuck out to me the most is when you said there was something about, like, the misogynistic tone that changes when people speak with you on the phone as opposed to when they're seeing it in an email. And I was like, you said the misogynistic shift in tone I caught whenever someone would call me at work after corresponding via email prompted me to start using my much more feminine middle name along with the rest of it. Like, hearing that switch, I imagine has got to be really frustrating. And so, like, or frustrating or disheartening or annoying or, you know, probably many different things in different instances, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But, like, that that resonates. I get it. So thank you for your letter. All right.
Yes.
It is time for us to get into our dishonorable mentions. These are the stories or people that caught our attention this week that deserve a call out either for their good or for their stupid. Travell, would you like to start or should I?
I will go. And I will say, first and foremost, shout out to Ryan Mitchell, a.k.a. the Slay God. He's been on the show a couple times, as recent as a couple weeks ago. He is going to be the new host of Logo Live, which is an IG kind of like interview talk series that you can catch starting this week. You all will be hearing this on Thursday. His first episode as host drops or would have dropped yesterday on Wednesday if you're listening to this on Thursday. So go check that out over on his Instagram, over on the Logo TV Instagram account. Shout out to him. And then I wanted to give an honorable mention to this resource that I saw on Instagram. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. Not Instagram, on Twitter. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's this thread from Nadege Green, I believe is how you say their name. Sorry for butchering it, love. But the tweet reads, I created a free digital platform to learn about Miami-Dade's Black history. This is a thread on what you can find at blackmiamidade.com because local Black history is important and should be accessible. Now, obviously, I could have easily put this in Black history is happening every day, but I have something special for that momentarily. But this, I thought, was a really good, like, interesting thing. I love local news, particularly local news as it relates to Black folks. And shout out to Miami-Dade. You know, we know the Blacks be running it, honey. Been there for a long time. And so if you are interested in this history, again, you can check that out at blackmiamidade.com. Shout out to Nadege Green for creating this.
I want to give a shout out to our editor because I just bumped the table and I heard Laura roll her eyes inside her spirit when she heard it play back. So honorable mention to y'all. First, I want to give an honorable mention to Keith Boykin, who's been on our show. Keith actually was my guest co-host on the show before and has been here.
Mm-hmm. Zaddy Boykin.
I believe a couple of times. I know y'all have enjoyed Keith's appearances on the show. Keith wrote a book called Race Against Time, which he came on and talked about before. He has a new book out now on this new platform called Scribd, which is called Quitting, Why I Left My Job to Live a Life of Freedom. And that book is now available.
Oh, it's called Scribd? It's not Scribd?
I think it's Scribd. I mean, don't get me to lion chow. I don't know.
Now that makes sense. That makes a lot more sense than Scribd. Yeah. It really does.
Culture. The book is described as, Keith is going to be here on the show soon to talk about it, but it's talking about kind of approaching your work life a little bit differently. So shout out to Keith and his brand new book. You can get it on Scribd. What is cool about Scribd is like it's a platform that is for audiobooks and all kinds of different books, and you can read the book for free on the platform. So go check it out. I'll make sure we have the link in the show notes. I want to give a shout out to Brittany Luce, who is, you might know from our show. She was on our live show when we did the London episode with the London Podcast Festival. She's one of the co-hosts of the show called For Colored Nerds, which is going away, but has been around for a while in many different iterations. Brittany is the new host of It's Been a Minute over on NPR. You might also remember Sam Sanders was on the show, the former host of that show, on our chicken episode, and Sam has left that show and now has two other shows. Brittany is now the host of It's Been a Minute, and want to give a shout out to her. She just started in that role. I believe the first episode came out about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And so want to give her a shout out
with
Stacey Abrams interview right on her first episode. So shout out to Brittany, and make sure y'all go check out the show and give her some love and support. Finally, I want to shout out Tabitha Brown. Her brand new book is called Cooking from the Spirit. And I went to her book tour event. She's been on tour for the last couple of weeks.
Not from the spirit.
Cooking from the Spirit, baby. And she had a event here celebrating the book and kind of talking about it. And it was great to kind of hear her perspective and her story. I'm obviously familiar with Tabitha in a lot of ways that so many people are. But I was not familiar with like her story of how she became vegan or why she became vegan. And it was just really inspiring to me and encouraging to me. So, as a person who is looking to like try to improve the different ways I am in my life with my food and all that kind of different stuff, I'm like, you know what? I should try going vegan for a little while. And so we're going to pray about it. But I made a vegan recipe from her cookbook today. The book is also really, really beautiful. Like if you enjoyed like well-done books, her book, again, Cooking from the Spirit, is just a really beautifully designed book. And it's available now. And also shout out to her because she is on the New York Times bestseller list. I believe she debuted at number 8 when the book just came out. So again, go check out Tabitha Brown's book, Cooking from the Spirit, Easy, Delicious, and Joyful Plant-Based Inspirations. It's available right now.
You know, I like my inspirations meat-based, but I love that for her. Now it is time for
Black History is happening every day.
Okay, this week's Black History is Happening Every Day moment is going to a one Megan Thee Stallion, who made history over the weekend as only the second woman rapper to both host and be the musical guest on Saturday Night Live. She follows in the iconic, legendary footsteps of a one Dana Owens, better known as Queen Latifah, who did it back in 2004. I didn't see any of her like hostage or like the skits, but I did watch a few of the performances. She had a really good performance, an affecting performance of her song Anxiety from her poorly named album, also, you know, called Traumazine. But she kind of like, you know, got choked up in the middle of that performance. And so it was really powerful and moving and emotional performance in that particular way. I love to see her win. She's been doing some really great things. She tweeted out right before SNL that she was going to be, you know, taking a much needed break after SNL. We all know the public foolishness that she has had to deal with over the last couple years. And so I'm glad she'll be taking some time for herself. But I wanted to shout her out in this space.
That is about all of it for us here, I guess. I appreciate y'all listening. Travelle and I always appreciate y'all being here. If you are listening to the show on any of the platforms that allow you to rate and review the show, we ask that you do that. And we also ask that you share the show if you have an episode that you really, really love. Maybe it was this one talking about Barbs, Carbs, and Trump. Whatever it is, if you are in love with what are the cops?
Is that the title? I think that's the title.
Barbs, Carbs, and Trump? Maybe. I'm in. Swish, I think we got it done. I think we did it. If you are interested in any of the conversations that we've been having, make sure to share that with a friend and tell them what you loved about the show. We also want to hear from y'all. If you have a comment or a suggestion about the show, you can hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, and the TikTok machine over at Fanti Podcast. Use the hashtag FantiFam. And you can send us an email to Fanti@MaximumFun.org. Let us know what you're thinking about the show, what things you want to hear on the show, etc.
If you want to give us some of your money and become a financially contributing member of the Fanti fam, you can do that at MaximumFun.org/join. Our music is brought to you every week by the one and only Corese, Core.ece. He just had a birthday this past weekend. Shout out to him.
Damn.
Our graphics by Ashley Wynn and the folks over at Moon House Creative. Our editor is Nihar Patel.
Our senior producer is Laura Swisher. This is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
That was supposed to be a panther sound.
Oh.
In case y'all didn't know.
Oh, honey. That sound, that was not giving. Oh. It was giving like house cat at best. Go to break.